welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I do want to say this program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank Stephen so much for his support. He gave a one-time donation through support.greatdetectives.net. You can also support the show on a regular basis at patreon.greatdetectives.net. All right, well now it's time for today's episode of The Avenger. The original air date, April the 5th of 1946. And the title is A Shot in the Dark.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
The Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and the Shot in the Dark.
You fool, Ripley. You shot him.
No, Corbin. It was an accident. Armstrong tried to take my gun. In the struggle, it went off.
Come on. We'll beat it out the back way.
No, I didn't mean to kill him. It was an accident. I'm going to turn myself in.
You're crazy. They give you the hot seat for this, Ripley.
But there's nothing else to do.
Armstrong's body won't be discovered until morning. That'll give us time to think of something. Come on.
Where to?
Over to my place. This way, Ripley. Hurry. Well, that's the way it adds up, Ripley. If you turn yourself in, they'll give you the works.
I might as well save the police the trouble of looking for me. Tomorrow morning, Armstrong's body will be found with two bullets from my gun in him. It'll just be a matter of time until they track me down.
There are ways to beat raps like this, Ripley.
How do you mean?
Well, the cops have to have a corpus delicti before they can tag a guy with a murder rap, don't they?
Yes, but...
Now, suppose I could fix it so that Armstrong's body is never found. He'd just be a missing person then, wouldn't he?
But how could you do that, Corbin?
I got friends who could pull a job like that. If you'd be willing to pay them for the trouble.
How much?
$50,000 and your slate is clean.
I haven't that kind of money, Corbin.
What do you mean you haven't that kind of money? You're worth 5 times that much, Ripley. What about that big inheritance you just came into?
But most of that money is tied up in bonds and securities. I can't
possibly... All right. Suit yourself. If you'd rather blow your whole bankroll trying to defend yourself in court, that's your business. But if I had a wife and kids...
I'd leave my family out of this, Corbin.
Okay, Ripley. I just thought maybe you forgot about them, that's all.
No. No, I'd gladly pay $50,000 to spare them the shame and disgrace of a murder trial on...
Only what? What's holding you up, then?
How do I know it would end there? You know I killed Armstrong. And you're a blackmailer, Corbin. You've already taken me for $20,000.
Have it your way, Ripley. But you ain't exactly in a position to do any bargaining, you know.
What about those papers we went to Armstrong's shop to steal?
You started shooting before I had a chance to get them. Don't blame me for that.
All right, Corbin. If you can get those papers and get rid of Armstrong's body, I'll pay up.
I'll talk to my boys. But you've got to have the dough ready by tomorrow night.
I'll do the best I can.
Okay. Well, now that the deal is closed, you just forget all about Armstrong. I'll take care of everything, Ripley. Every single thing.
But, Mrs. Ripley, why have you come to me? Why don't you go to the police?
Because... Well, I don't think they take my story very seriously, Mr. Brandon. After all, I can't prove there's any crime involved.
Well, in that case, there's nothing I can do either.
I thought perhaps you could find out what's troubling my husband. That is, without his knowing anything about it.
Well, suppose you give me the details, Mrs. Ripley. I may at least be able to offer some advice.
Well, you see, recently my husband inherited a sizable fortune from his grandfather. Almost immediately he began to act strangely, as if he were afraid of something. I questioned him, but he'd tell me nothing except that he was having business troubles.
Well, that sounds plausible enough.
Well, at first I thought so, too. Then about 2 weeks ago, my husband drew $20,000 out of our joint bank account. When he refused to explain this withdrawal, I became alarmed, went to see his business partner.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he corroborate your husband's statement about his business troubles?
No. No, he assured me that my husband's business affairs were in perfect order. He knew nothing about the $20,000.
Perhaps your husband gambled with the money, Mrs. Ripley.
I tried to make myself believe that. Until yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
But yesterday I discovered that my husband had sold $50,000 worth of bonds. Government bonds that had been purchased for our small son. I know my husband wouldn't have done that. That is, just to gamble away the money, Mr. Brandon.
No, that doesn't seem likely.
Mr. Brandon, I think someone's blackmailing my husband. I don't know how or why, but I'm certain that he's in some terrible kind of trouble.
Mrs. Ripley, I'd like to help you, but in a matter of this kind, I have no right to interfere. As far as the law is concerned, a man can spend his money any way he likes. And we have no proof that this is blackmail.
My husband is living in mortal terror of someone. I'm sure of it.
Then suppose we handle it this way, Mrs. Ripley. You go home and speak to your husband. Try to persuade him to make a statement. And if he's in any kind of danger, you can be sure that the police will offer him every kind of protection. But until he's willing to make a clean breast of things, I'm afraid this is strictly a family matter. Or, perhaps, a case for his physician.
Jim. Looks like suicide, all right.
Not a very pretty sight. Who discovered the body, Inspector?
The maid. Yes, when she came in to clean the room about an hour ago, she didn't touch anything, though. The hotel manager kept the room locked until we got here.
Does the manager know anything about this, ma'am?
Not much. Says he checked in last night and registered as Harry Johnson. In a place like this, they don't ask any questions.
Well, it's evident that this man could have afforded a better hotel. Good clothes. Well-kept hands. Expensive shoes.
Well, that doesn't make much difference now. Shall we cut him down?
No, not yet. I want to check everything first.
That's obvious what happened, Jim. That overturned stool there on the floor is what he stood on while he fastened the rope around his neck. Then he just kicked away the stool and hung himself.
I don't think so, Inspector.
Oh, now, Jim, you're not going to tell me.
Bring that stool over here, Inspector, will you please? And I'll show you what I mean.
Okay.
As you can see, this noose is drawn very tightly.
All right, here's the stool, Jim.
Good. Place it upright under this man's feet. Now, look, Inspector, there's a distance of at least 6 inches between the stool and this man's feet. Since the noose is tightly drawn, that means he couldn't possibly have hung himself. No, this was murder, Inspector.
Yeah.
Now we'll cut him down and see if we can find anything in his pockets. Here, give me a hand, Inspector.
All right.
Cut it. Hold it. There. Here, help me. Put him on the bed.
All right. Well, I'll send a man down here to give everything a good dusting, but I have a feeling we won't find any prints in here.
Here's his wallet. few small bills and some business cards. Say, this man's name was Alan Ripley, Inspector.
Hey, isn't he the fellow that came into a pile of money a couple of months ago?
That's right. His wife came to see me yesterday morning. She thought he was being blackmailed, but couldn't offer any proof of it.
Well, that gives us a lead.
It's certainly worth investigating in the light of what's happened. Let's see what we can turn up on it.
Did Mrs. Ripley identify the body, Jim?
Yes, Farron. It was her husband, all right.
Well, Jim, I don't trust these women who come here crying for help. Remember the wild goose chase that Edith Wiley led us on? And all the time she herself was guilty.
In other words, you think Mrs. Ripley blackmailed her husband and then murdered him?
Well, I think we should check her story before we put any faith in it.
Don't worry, we will. Did you get me those back numbers of the newspapers, Farron?
Yes, they're in the library, Jim. But what do you want with them?
Well, according to Mrs. Ripley, her husband's trouble began when he inherited that money. Now, if we're up against the work of an organized blackmail ring, Ripley wasn't their only victim.
Oh, you mean we're going to check up on all the other people who inherited money recently?
That's right. If we can get hold of somebody who will talk, we can save a lot of time on this.
How did you make out this time, Jim?
Oh, another blank, Fern. If any of these people have been blackmailed, they're afraid to admit it.
Well, after what happened to Ripley, I can't say that I blame them. But what's our next move, Jim?
There's only one way to force these blackmailers into the open, and that's by going on the offensive.
But how?
We'll throw them a bait.
A bait?
Yes. A young lady who has just inherited $1 million. That should do the trick.
Say, Jim, is it true about Fern inheriting $1 million from an aunt in South America?
That's what the papers say, Inspector.
Well, where is she? I want to congratulate her. Golly, $1 million. Some luck.
Inspector, wait a minute. You'd better brace yourself for another shock.
What are you talking about, Jim?
That story was a fake. Fern didn't inherit anything.
I don't get it. What's going on here, Jim?
We're setting Fern up as a decoy to trap this blackmailing ring, Inspector.
That's dangerous business, Jim.
I know, but I've taken every precaution.
Where is Fern?
She's taken an apartment in the house next door. I've had the place completely wired, and there's a dictaphone in every room.
And those dictaphones are connected here in your lab,
Right.
Well, I can breathe easier then.
Oh, that's Fern on the wire now. Yes, Fern, what is it?
Jim, it's awful sitting around this apartment with nothing to do. Why can't I bring the typewriter over and do some work while I'm waiting?
Because an heiress doesn't have to work, Fern.
Well, I hope this life of ease won't last too long. I can't take it.
Well, now you just sit tight. Pretend you're on a vacation. I'll have some more books sent up this afternoon.
Jim, somebody's at the door.
Okay, answer it. And don't worry. The inspector and I are here in the lab listening to everything. Good luck.
Well, here goes.
Well, Inspector, it looks as though we've got a bite. Listen.
Yes? What is it, please?
Are you Fern Collier?
Yes.
Let me come in. I got some private business with you.
Private business? Who are you?
You can call me Dorothy for the time being, Miss Collier. I come to have a talk with you about your inheritance.
Well, my lawyer takes care of all my business affairs.
Not this. I don't think you'd care to have your lawyer know anything about this.
What are you talking about?
Miss Collier, I can prove that you're collecting an inheritance that don't belong to you.
That's ridiculous.
I don't believe the police would think so. Now, just take a look at these photo stats. These records show that you didn't live in South America at the time you said you did.
Where did you get these?
Never mind that. Is it worth $5,000 to you for me to forget them?
Yes, you know it is.
How soon can you get the money?
Not before tomorrow night.
Okay. I'll get in touch with you. And if you try to duck out, I'll use this information for all it's worth.
Now, back to the Avenger and the Shot in the Dark.
Fern, did you find that Dorothy's picture in the files?
No, Inspector. She's not here. I guess we'll just have to sit back and wait for her to contact me. Don't you think so, Jim?
Yes, we do that anyway, because she's just fronting for someone. We're out to get the whole gang.
Well, that Dorothy's smart, all right. I was all set to tail her, but she must have ducked down through the basement in the back.
Now, Inspector, what would you say if that happened to one of your men?
Well, a man can't be two places at once.
Well, it doesn't matter. Dorothy's not likely to drop out of sight now that Fern has promised to pay up.
Oh, Jim, I'd better get back to the apartment in case she calls.
Oh, that's right. Here's the $5,000, Fern.
Hey, Jim, aren't you going to mark those bills just in case they should give us the slip?
These bills are marked, Inspector.
Let me see. Mm-hmm. Well, they look all right to me. I can't detect any markings.
Here, put these glasses on. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you see?
Hey, Jim. Hey, these bills are marked all right. How come I can only see that with these glasses on here?
Because they're marked with black light ink. Only those special lenses can detect it.
What next?
Now, give Fern the money and she'll be on her way. We mustn't keep Miss Dorothy waiting.
Keep me posted, won't you, Jim? I'll have a few men standing by in case you need them.
That may be very soon, Inspector.
This is the neatest setup we ever had, Corbin.
Yeah. A phony heiress. We ought to be able to take her for the whole role, Dorothy.
I wouldn't be surprised. She's plenty scared.
Well, in that case, I don't see why we should wait. When she comes around with the $5,000 tonight, I'll put the bee on her for another 50 right away. What do you think, Armstrong?
I think you're getting too ambitious, Corbin. You don't last long in this game unless you play it slow.
What are you talking about? We got $100,000 from Ripley in a couple of weeks, didn't we?
Yeah. And then you had to bump him off to keep him from squawking. Don't forget that.
Well, if we can take this little phony Jane for another 100 G's, we'll be set for life. That'll bring our bankroll close to the million mark.
You can count me in on that, Corbin. I got a nice little ranch picked out just over the border. If we can swing this job, I'm going to retire.
Well, what about you, Armstrong? Are you willing to string along, or do I have to get a fast substitute?
Come on, Armstrong. You're not scared of a little dame that's as crooked as you are you?
No, I guess not. But after this job, I'm pulling out. A racket like this can't last forever.
Okay, okay. Now listen. Tonight I'll meet this Collier girl and tell her we're not interested in anything less than $50,000 for them papers. I'll make a date to take her to Armstrong's shop tomorrow night to get the papers and pay off the money.
Then you and Armstrong go into your act, and you got her right where you want her. She won't dare talk. She'll put up another $50,000 to keep you quiet.
That's it. Okay, Dottie. You go to a pay station in Midtown and give the little lady a ring. Tell her to drive out to the old church at Black Point at 10 o'clock tonight, alone.
Do I give her your name?
Sure. This Corbin alias has proved lucky for a whole year. We'll stick to that for the time being. But be sure to tell that girl that if she doesn't follow instructions to the letter, she'll never live to collect that inheritance.
Are you sure you've got everything straight, Fern? Oh, Black Point is just about 2 miles ahead.
I think so, Jim. The money's in the compartment. I'm sure I wasn't followed, and I know how they found out I'm not the real heiress.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'd better go over that last part again.
All right. During that summer I was supposed to be in South America, I was really on a farm near Highmore with an old teacher of mine. Since she's dead now, her chauffeur is the only person who could have tipped them off to this. I'm willing to pay plenty to keep him and them quiet.
Right. Now, if this Corbin demands more money, pretend to fall for it, because we want to follow this racket right down the line.
I will.
Fern, I'm going to become the Avenger now, but I won't reveal myself at Black Point unless you're in some sort of danger.
All right. As long as I know you're there, I won't be afraid. Oh, there's the old church just ahead. But I can't see if there's a car there or not. Oh, yes, there it is. Somebody just flashed the headlights. I'll pull up.
That you, Miss Collier?
Yes.
Stay where you are. I want to examine your car.
I'm alone, if that's what you mean.
That's what I mean, all right. Yep, guess you are at that. Okay, Miss Collier, I've got a little business proposition to offer you. Them papers I got say you're not the girl you're pretending to be. That means you're trying to horn in on a lot of money that don't belong to you. Now, don't get me wrong. That's okay with me. But I think you should be willing to make a fair deal.
What kind of a deal?
Well, since you stand to collect $1 million, what do you say to $50,000 for them documents?
$50,000?
Let's not bargain, Miss Collier. Are you willing to pay or not?
Well, I have no choice. You know that. When must I have the money?
Tomorrow night. The papers are locked up in a little hawk shop I know about. We'll have to steal them.
Steal them? Just a minute. I don't understand. Do you mean this shop owner has the papers?
Yes, but we can get them. And that'll put them out of the picture completely.
Oh.
I'll meet you at midnight tomorrow at 7th Avenue and Clay Street. You bring the money and we'll get the papers.
All right. May I go now?
Yeah, but I'll take that $5,000 you brought just on account.
Seventh Avenue and Clay Street is the next block, Fern. You go ahead now, I'll follow.
Oh, Jim, I'm getting scared. I think we should have brought some of the inspector's men with us.
No, there's only one way to discover the foolproof angle they've been employing in this setup. We've got to string along until they spring that.
Well, keep close behind us, won't you, Jim?
Don't worry, Fern. When you and that gangster Corbin enter the hawk shop, the Avenger will be right behind you. Go ahead now.
This is the place, Miss Collier. We duck through this alley and get in the back way.
I don't understand why I had to come here. Why couldn't you steal the papers yourself?
Why should I take all the chances?
For $50,000, I'd
be... quiet. Here we are.
Isn't this back door locked?
Sure. I'll force this window and get inside and open it up. Yeah, that was easy. Wait right where you are. I'll have the door open in a minute.
Jim.
Yes, Fern. It's time now for the Avenger.
Okay, Miss Collier. Come inside. I think the shopkeeper's asleep on the second floor.
Where are the papers?
In that little safe in the corner. Here, take these. A flashlight and a gun.
A gun? What for?
If anyone comes in while I'm at the safe, you'll have to plug them.
I'll do no such thing.
Keep quiet and do as I tell you. I've taken out the light bulb. Now I'll go to work on the safe. Give me some light over here. What was that?
Somebody's coming.
Must be Armstrong, the storekeeper. We're in for it now.
Hey, what's going on in here?
He's got a flashlight. Plug him before he gets a gander at us.
No.
You're burglars, eh? Well, hand over that gun, young lady.
Shoot, you little fool.
No, you don't. I'll take that gun.
You don't need to struggle for it. I'm willing to give you the gun.
You shot me.
No. No. I didn't touch the trigger.
Armstrong's a dead duck. Come on, we've got to get out of here. The cops may be here any minute.
You're right, Corbin. The Avenger is here now.
The Avenger?
Yes. And I've just witnessed a very dramatic climax to a long history of blackmailing.
The girl shot Armstrong. You saw that.
There was a shot in the dark, and this young lady holds a gun. You could blackmail her for life with evidence like that, couldn't you, Corbin? Young lady, have you a gun of your own?
Yes, in my purse.
Take it out. Now, let us make a little experiment. If Armstrong is dead, he wouldn't care one way or another about an extra bullet in the heart. But if he isn't, he'd better be off that floor with his hands up within 5 seconds. One, two...
No, don't shoot. Who's a frame-up? Don't shoot. I'll spill everything.
Save it, Armstrong. Call the police, young lady. We'll let them handle Armstrong's confession.
Jim, the papers are calling this case the Clay Pigeon Murders.
Well, that's accurate enough as far as Armstrong is concerned, Fern. He was murdered by 6 different people and lived to tell about it.
Jim, just how did they manage that?
The gun Corbin gave his victims to hold was filled with blanks. In the framed-up struggle, Armstrong pulled the trigger himself, but the victims were too frightened to realize that. They thought they'd killed Armstrong.
But when they didn't see anything about the murder in the papers, why didn't they become suspicious?
Because each of the victims paid Corbin enormous sums to get rid of Armstrong's body.
Good heavens. No wonder you couldn't get any information from those people when you first went to work on the case. But what about Ripley, Jim? Why was he murdered?
Ripley? Ripley paid up, but his conscience bothered him and he decided to go to the police and confess. Fern, that was his death warrant. Corbin killed him.
Well, it was some setup. I would have been willing to swear that I shot Armstrong.
Well, if you hadn't been so frightened, Fern, you would have noticed that Armstrong didn't bleed when he was shot. Neither did he stop breathing. Two phenomenal discrepancies.
I should say so. But somehow, when a gun goes off and a man falls over, we just take it for granted you shot him.
Yes. Well, am I right in taking it for granted that you're ready to go to work? We're way behind in our experiments.
Yes, sir. Gosh, Jim, I'll bet no one ever went through $1 million as fast as I did.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. I had to kind of laugh a bit when Jim told Fern to pretend like this was a vacation. Yes, a vacation where you sit around and stare up at the wall. Of course, she couldn't play the radio in there because he had listening devices planted and might have missed something. Still, she should have thought to bring a book. Unless Jim thought what heiresses do is they sit around and they look bored. And, once again, an episode where the Avengers' powers actually have some purpose. And definitely, the ability to be invisible would be really handy to a lot of old-time radio detectives. And finally, one brief listener comment that's shared by Jennifer Moss over on her Facebook page. A picture of her dog, Roscoe, listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. Looks like it's being played on our iPad app. It's a cute picture. You can check it out on our Facebook page under the visitor post. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us tomorrow for Richard Diamond. And next Tuesday, the final episode of The Avenger. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.